this on, push this button, shift into gear.
I play no computer games. I play no computer games.
Oh.
I play no computer games. That's where I laser beams.
Oh, goldy looking chain, huh?
I play no computer games. I play no computer
Thought we weren't letting good songs on the playlist. Oh no, this isn't coming from the playlist. This is just coming from my iTunes library somehow.
I get these feelings. Do you have feelings? I get these feelings. I've got these feelings. I get these feelings. Do you have feelings? I get these feelings. It's really strange. I play no computer games. I play no computer games. I play no computer games. That's where I lay the blame. If I can't make it past level 9, there's gonna be another card part. Don't wanna be a name of shamer, but every movie you play on a gamer. Stab, kick, bullet in the head, punch and kick them till they bled. I'm a first person maniac shooter, a Michael Ryan on a computer. You shove your hands in another dress, commend your Nintendo DS. Punch your sister, try to stalk her, all because you played on Frogger. Forge your brother to drink this, because you can't compete on Crisis. Stab your dad, cut his dog, cause the baby's awesome.
Alright, let's get into the playlist, you know, where the good shit is. Oh, good, yeah. Oh, God. Like, there's no line on Spotify. I feel like Spotify needs like a report song button. I want to be able to right click on a song on Spotify and just have a button that says crimes, and I just check. I click the crimes button and I shake the crime stick at the song, and then it gets dealt with. Do you think all these people go through the process of, like, legally acknowledging that this is a cover of a song? Or are they just putting it up, like, completely... Is it full rogue? Yes. Hypnospace sequel that is just Spotify. But also real Spotify. Like a layer that goes over the Spotify web player that adds the crimes button, and then there's a database of acknowledged crimes. Yeah, they probably have to spend more time like reporting it to whatever. Maybe Spotify like has that integrated. I don't know. Is there like a checkbox that says this is a cover of a song? And then they handle that aspect of it. Or maybe it's like whatever company they're submitting stuff to get on Spotify. They're just going through one of those weird middleman companies. I don't even know. Is the person who put that track, Vaping in the Hood, are they sending, is the money from that going to Ice Cube and Diana Ross? That would be a song I would click the crimes button on. Okay, that sounds a lot easier. That makes a lot of these covers make more sense, I guess. If there's a way for them to just like appear legally and all that. So, you know, it's not like criminal crimes. It's more of a crime of the heart. Like this is a crime of passion. Yeah. Samples, I guess. Yeah. That probably sampling law is a whole different nightmare, I guess. Huh? Or is this the ultimate outsider art? Damn it! My phone has a poison inside of it. My phone got a hold of some of the recalled hummus, and now it's got listeria. And these are the only songs it can play. Up to the phone hooked up to my modem, it's going to tell me a really exciting story about information society. I got so distracted by all that, I almost missed my turn. Thank you.
take a close look. Yeah.
Yeah.
But much closer than that. Take a real close look. You begin to see why. There's much more to white, much more than can ever meet the eye. Like, look over there. There. You see that white? Sure looks for sure like the white that's called pure, but it isn't. Not at all.
I hear you.
That's an off-white white.
Wait.
Sorry.
Wait.
Just doesn't quite measure up. Falls short.
This
absolutely pure, pure white is just a dream of a dream. Even now, if you close your eyes tight and let your brain go to where it's whiter than snow, you'll see, you'll know. The whitest white that white can be white, as imagined by you, imagined by me, as the purest of pure, pure white, is just a little bit off, just a little bit off. White. Off white, white. Off white, white.
Renditions of Dave Matthews Band. This fucking song, this song also fucking sucks. One of the first songs I wrote after leaving the band I was in, I wrote it, put it out there, and then had some friends ask for, hey, you know, send me the stems, like give me the parts, do some remixes, whatever. And the dude who was in the band that I had left fucking just took this fucking Dave Matthews song, looped it up, put a fucking beat under it, and then that was his remix, and it's disgusting.
Gentlemen, it's Erykah Badu. Boy, I got Wi-Fi.
walking across the street with a cane. He's got big old white headphones on, and he seems to have a blue net over the upper half of his body, like a mesh, like a veil, but not a veil, more like a net or got a lot going on. There's a lot going on here in this neighborhood. Oh, good. Yeah, good, 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 good. This is the song we needed. And the songstress we needed to perform it.
Palms are sweating, knees weak, arms are heavy, this moment I'm sweating already. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking now, everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up over blouse. Now back to reality, oh, the ghost gravity, oh.
Are they a model? I don't. Go, light screen, lights only green for a couple seconds, you need to go. Dude, come on, shooting sunglasses, fucking move. You know, they're also using, also wearing flats. I guess they're technically sandals, but...
Sounds all right. Gonna pour some meals in motion. Get ready, cause we're
kids want you to get on the Venga bus. These kids are doing rails in the back of the Venga bus. Definitely an era where looking at other, like looking for the people that matched with you musically, like, oh, who's that? Oh, wow. I'm gonna write on this wall here. Hello. Well, I can't scrabble the bullshit music I actually listen to. I have to only scrabble the music I want people to think I'm listening to. I was in like two or three Last FM groups that were for like people who were in bands. And it was the fucking worst. FM, I could try to put in a good word for you. We are technically the same company, but I think they're all in London. I don't actually know anyone. And that bond will never be broken, that love will never get lost. That works on it. Creation album, look, it's not... I mean, I can sit here and tell you I like it, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's good. Now I'm thinking back and trying to remember what other songs are on that album that are good. There's that track with Chippy Nonstop on it. Show up, play the set, and leave. Like, I didn't stay to see other bands most of the time, because I thought that most of the other local music was total shit. And we were in a rap group. And we were in a rap group playing with ska bands a lot, and punk bands a lot, and I was just, like, not really that into it. I was just like, whatever. Me and one of the other guys in the band, we would show up, do our thing, and go. And then we started playing with the same set of bands a lot. We started, like, touring around a little bit, even in some cases, with some other bands. And so, like, I became a little more friendly with some of the other bands, and yeah. So, like, I was always kind of on the outside of it by design at that point. And then, yeah, when we added a live band, It was all the people from the bands that we played with, because our mini disc player broke and we needed a backing band immediately. So they all just came back on stage and played and just jammed, and we rapped over it, and then we never used the mini disc player ever again. I didn't pass out on stage. I did not get fucked up before shows. I got fucked up after shows. I was at least reliable in that sense, generally. But then, yeah, once we became a full band, it was suddenly like we went from 3 people to 9? 11? What was it? Okay, so there was me and Glenn rapping. There was Brendan standing there and talking into a microphone, but not rapping, as an anti-hype man sort of role. Alex played drums. Dominic played bass. Owen and Brian played guitar. And then Nick eventually played guitar instead. No, Nick played trumpet. Joe played trombone. We had a female singer at that point, Christine, and then she got replaced later on. And then when she got replaced with Jen had a boyfriend, Cosman, who played the bongos. And so suddenly we had a bongo player. How many people is that? I already lost track. I already lost count of how many fucking people that was. Joe had set his trombone on fire. It was fun. But anyway, so at that point, you know, like, that was enough people to have a fucking click and a half, you know? So I started hanging out more and started kind of getting into some of the other local bands here and there. But also, like, just, like, being around the drama. I was friends with a girl who... how should I put this? She found herself at the center of a whole lot of drama, and she is one of the nicest people I've ever met. But sometimes that can get you into, you know, sometimes you can find yourself in some situations where, So... out at the venue all night. you know, like the show would be over and no one would leave and just be like, all right, well, whatever, we're just going to hang out here. People would sleep there sometimes. People would hang out and drink or, you know, like go somewhere else, go to some house party or whatever. And it just very quickly became like evident that there was like, there were the bands that might get signed. And they were the most desirable people to be around slash with. And it was just a weird, yeah, it created this strange pecking order of like, and stories would get around like about one guy that was in that position. Did you know he, and I guess this was some years later when emo kind of came up and became more of a thing. So after I was out of that band, but kind of still around the scene. Like, people would still tell stories about this dude. Like, I heard he built his own guitar. And then people just go, oh. And it was just real fucking bizarre. I don't think he actually built his own guitar. At the end of the day, I feel like I maybe finally asked at some point. Did you build a guitar? No. So I don't know. Like, I was always on the outside because I didn't play an instrument per se, and you know, I never felt like I shared much. Like, I could sing well enough. I would back up our singer sometimes. But it wasn't really what I did. And none of us were really, like, I was not really into a lot of the same type of music as most of the other people in those bands, because there was a lot of people in punk bands listening to punk, in ska bands, in emo bands, hanging out and crying a lot. You know, whatever they were into. So we were always like the fucking like jokesters, the fucking weirdos on the fringe of that scene a little bit that like managed to stay above it a little bit, which I suppose is just a different way to fucking exert influence, I guess. But we kind of stayed out of it. Long story short, I feel like I got like multiple summers worth of stupid shit and watching that pecking order form and watching people be totally ostracized and watching drunk people be like taken advantage of and just like just fucking awful shit. Like the shit of youth of just like, man, this is a fucking bad scene and you either get out of it or you don't. And I kinda just stayed on the fringes and never really hung out that much. But then years later, a friend of mine started another group with a lot of the same people that were in that band before, and he was deliberately trying to just be like, it was like, he reminds me a lot of Kid Rock. He ran for city council last year also. But he was like trying to do this cowboy hip hop thing, but not like not hip hop. Like, he was rapping with a live band, but he would wear a cowboy hat sometimes and call himself Rowdy. And so it was just this dumb fucking mishmash of stupid shit. But it was really fun. And so I went to their rehearsals all the time, and I would fill in for... There was another guy who was, like, a backup vocalist, and I ended up writing lyrics for him at one point in the studio. Because they were like, oh, we never really wrote this part. I'm like, here, say this. I'm like, oh, okay, that took you 5 minutes. Like, yeah, it's not hard to write 4 bars, just... Especially when, like, the topic is just like, I don't know, let's be lewd here. Okay, all right, yes, it's okay. Done. Very easy. Uh, I started hanging out with them, and they were, like, very much, like, he had positioned their band as, like, anti-emo, and he was taking out ads in the local free music newspaper that was just, like, pictures of them, all of them naked, holding copies of the newspaper over their crotches, and or guitars, you know, it's like, whatever, just, but all of them were them fucking nude, and the bass player was my roommate at the time, the bass player would be the other half of Midnight Brown, and I ended up taking some of those photos. It was just a fucking weird scene. I don't know. It was strange. Dude's mom's pills out of their medicine cabinet, and then the whole thing went sideways. It was like this really, it feels like a fairly tight crew and like a fun summer, and everybody was hanging out, it was a good time, and then that happened, and everything after that night, there was some other stuff that happened that night that I'm just straight up not going to say into a recording. But the catalyst was, like, a bunch of pills got stolen, and everything changed. And it was never the same again. Found him, as it turned out, it was not as big of a deal as that was made up to be. but still, that whole thing was over. And then Chris moved in somewhere in the middle of all that, and then we, this other dude, Jack, who was the best friend of, was the best friend of the guy who stole all those pills, he moved in, and we kicked around, like, that dude is, like, a really good session player. I think he's done all kinds of shit. He was on The Tonight Show. He played guitar, maybe playing drums. He can play fucking anything. That dude is amazing. Anyway, he was part of some band, like some backing band that was needed for The Tonight Show one night. And then me, him, and Chris were going to start a band. And we just jammed around and fucked around for a while. And then I think Jack realized we were not serious enough for him and went off to hide in his room and record all the instruments himself for whatever he was doing, because he didn't fucking need us. And then Chris and I started Midnight Brown out of that. Which originally we were going to start like a fake emo band called Emily's Favorite Sweater. But it just didn't come together, so... Wave shoegaze? Is there like a coined term for like a shoegaze revival? Live instruments are fun, I just don't know how to play any of them. That was the fun thing about, like, we only really did it on the first, we didn't do much of it, but the first handful of Midnight Brown songs we recorded, we recorded a live bass. Like, I went and bought, like, you know, I was just going direct in, not through anything, throwing effects on it, you know, in post. Chris had like a regular bass that he played most of the time, but then he bought a fretless bass, It had more. I forget. Was it like a five, like a six, like a six string fretless bass, seven string fretless, something weird. So then I would just record him, sometimes he would play proper bass lines and we'd record them and all that stuff. But then sometimes it'd just be like, I think this part of the song just needs a bass solo. And then just have him go off on that fretless for a while, for, you know, just give me like a solid 16 bars. And then half the time I would go in and fucking like reverse it and, you know, like, all right, we'd listen to it and go, this is all right, but I bet if it was a backwards bass solo, it'd be way better. I think we used an iPod, but I did buy a portable mini disc player recorder back then, just in case. But yeah, if you want all that stuff, I could probably throw it all together into some big zip. One of these days, I just gotta find it all. That in about 40 episodes of Kids Against Crime. I think the weirdest stuff I have is not especially useful, but it's stuff like, I would have like, I would have lyrics kind of just come to me, like, when we weren't writing songs or whatever, it's be like, here are two lines that I think sound really good together, or that's really funny or dumb, and I would just write those down and then maybe pull from them later. It was like that, and we had, like, a list of song titles. And so, you know, when it came time to write a song, sometimes we would just start by reading down the list of song titles. And and then we had a list of band names. I want to use one of those band names. I kind of want to, but it's, I don't know. It's a really, I think it's a really good name. It might be too corny. Or it might evoke a certain, like, synthwave vibe that I don't think I want to project. I will bounce that name off you later if I remember. But yeah, I don't know. We had like ideas, like we wanted to record an album. Like we looked at the list of band names and we were like, let's record one song as each one of these bands. Like the Freezer Suits, which were to be a Japanese electro ska band. Or Fat Sword. Was it Fat Sword? I mean, there's a list of them. Okay, let's, God. Okay, well, I guess we're in it now, so. So I guess I just have to do this, huh? What was the name of that song? My band is, there it is. I think the end of this song, we list off almost all of the band names. Running out the door, taking it to control. Under the grip, because it's over time for control. Go sign up on his list, the drummer's getting fit. He wants a bit of the rhythm, yes, he makes it hit. Our cool little girl, he really wants that world. With the power season, all the hair and the curls. The same foot and the bake, all of the booty shakes. So let me see you dance and let's start a booty quake. Please, my
seven inch.
you doing?
That's live bass. Or our real bass looped, I guess. That's not Trilogy. It's not my Trilogy installation
doing those bass sounds, I guess.
Set it to you to fuck with. I think it's on the hard drive attached to my router. It's somewhere. It's all somewhere. Because one time our refrigerator broke in the shitty house we were living in. I broke the stool is written in the house that I'm in now. So our refrigerator broke in the place we were renting, and it was a furnished place, so we had to contact the landlord, which was like a property holding company, and get them to replace the fridge. And we were pretty sure the fridge was fucked. So we set off a bunch of fireworks in it while it was still in the house. So we set off firecrackers and M80s inside the fridge while it was still plugged in and inside the house and not functional. I was pretty sure that they were going to replace it. And then they sent a guy out and fixed it. But anyway, we had to go like a week or two using a cooler instead of a fridge. Which was fine, because I mean, most of the stuff that was in the fridge at that point, I think, was probably just beer anyway. Maybe some food, I don't know. And then, you know, like, it's just, we got one of those cheap, shitty styrofoam coolers, not an actual good cooler. And then we took to sitting on the cooler, and one night Jack was sitting on the cooler, and he fell through it and broke the cooler. And he said, "Well, I broke the fridge!" that was very good. And so I'm pretty sure there's no fewer than 6 songs that we wrote where in the background someone, one of us yells, "I broke the fridge." So then when someone years later sat on that stool and broke the stool, it was fantastic. Anyway, back to good music.
Thank you.
to like record your own voice and use it for voice navigation? Does that go in the Steam Workshop in a way that makes it easily accessible to other people? Because that would be a fun project to put together.
We Yin Yang Twins doing our thing in the G-Hope for Gamers Week. Like, hey, you already know.
Gamers got their own language. Well, we got ours. We call ours Yin Yanguage.
Halo 2, what you call that?
The Halo 2.
The Halo 2.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, what about the Halo 1?
What? Discontinued. And that hot-ass Microsoft system.
What you call it?
Call that an Xbox.
An Xbox.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Xbox.
Oh,
Xbox.
Man, can I play your Xbox?
Can I play your Xbox?
Two, three people at a time, they play that together. It's flour and water. And that gravy. That's what they hear, cause boy, look, I'm the man on the stick for real. And that's your lesson in Yin Yannix.
That's your lesson in Yin Yanguage. Congratulations. You won. All right, I'm gonna go inside and lay down. That's my big plan. I gotta go. We'll be back in the morning with more of this business. I'll see you later. Have a good night.